everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but is looking pretty swole.
Yeah, I am very swelled. I am very swelled. Should I get a beer? I should, right? I probably should.
Okay. Boop, boop, boop. Runs like a Monty Python character. Nice of you to join us for the show.
Huh?
Nice of you to join us for the show.
I figured, you know, you couldn't get this thing off the ground without me. But I wasn't going to get a beer, right? Because I've been doing exercise.
Thought you looked real strong.
I've been doing exercise in the morning. And so for the last couple of weeks, I haven't been drinking at all. Because I found that when I drink, I feel bad in the morning.
This is what I've been saying for weeks now.
And that makes it hard to exercise, right? And so I thought, yeah. Life hack, I'll just stop drinking so that when I wake up in the morning, it's not so bad to exercise.
Are you? You're some kind of next level genius.
We'll see, but here's like discovery the third.
Uh-huh.
I've been waking up without having beer the last 2 weeks at like 4:45 in the morning, and guess what?
Oh.
It still fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
It matters a little.
It really doesn't. I don't think you and I are seeing the same 4:45 because it really doesn't make any difference at all. I kind of want to like roll out of bed and fall onto a railroad spike into my eye. That would be more convenient for me than getting onto an exercise bike.
You could, if you were serious, you could arrange that. That's why I know that this is just you filling this with bullshit.
I better do it before Amy hears the episode next week, or she will be suspect number one.
Or she will throw herself on the spike first, and then you'll be stuck with the children.
It is a race to the spike in this house.
Since I have not been drinking much this year, I have found it's even harder to wake up early. I don't
really
know, and I don't think that's how it's supposed to be.
It's because you aren't waking up like throwing up in the toilet or something, and
yeah, I don't have that impetus to get out of bed. Not on the pillow, not on the pillow, not on the pillow. What sort of exercises are you doing?
I ride a bicycle until I throw up.
How many feet is that?
Two laps around the basement, and that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Are you borrowing one of your children's tricycles?
I am. Yes. Yeah. It's nice. A big wheel, technically, but okay. I figured, yeah, I'm a big guy, so I should drive a big wheel. Mm-hmm. But no, it's, you know, one of those shitty Sam's Club exercise bikes that has like no technology to it at all.
Yeah.
So you're just staring at a piece of plastic for 30 minutes until you just want to die, and then you go start your day. That's somehow even less interesting.
Could be worse. Could be the treadmill at my gym where the only thing you can watch instead of the cheap piece of plastic is Fox News. It's right there on big screens.
The worst. You should orient it the other way, though, so that you're like running away from Fox News. Then
yeah, they don't like that.
No, well,
they don't like that.
Who's that guy over there in the corner with thighs like cinder blocks? Oh, he's been running for years.
Oh man, lots of demons in the back in the rear view of that one.
Oof.
Anything else going on besides your cool new workout routine?
No, that's literally the best part of my life, and it's the part I hate the most. So
how's your heart feeling? Pretty good.
Just terrible. Just do you think tired and cranky all day?
Wrong?
Am I
doing this wrong? Yeah, I think it sounds like you might be.
I don't know. Is there a different way to get up out of bed and ride a bicycle?
I'd have to see how you do it.
I
might have notes.
So I make my legs go as fast as possible, and then I wave my hands over my head like I'm in front of a used car lot. Is that how
this
we do it?
This is a Muppet cycle.
Correct. Yes. It's called a combination workout. Lower body, upper body with the waving.
Yep. Nope. So, that checks out.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Well, we can get started here pretty soon. Oh, I think...
We'll get to the show eventually.
Maybe. But before we do, I think actually we have a... my notes here actually say that Patrick Dean has a 3D ghost coin update for us.
Oh,
Patrick,
shit. Is that true? I forgot about this. Oh, So, unfortunate news on the 3D ghost coin front. Neither of us, I'm going to cast the blame on both of us. I'm going to spread it very evenly.
That's nice. Thank
both
you.
Of us. Apparently, 3D ghost is a code online for untraceable guns that you print at home to murder people with. So I would like to formally apologize for creating a coin centered around illicit, untraceable murder.
We have taken all of our money out of 3D Ghosts.
I'm so sorry, everybody. We took all the money out of 3D Ghost Coin. Anyone that was still in it, I'm really sorry, but you should have seen this coming, quite frankly.
That 1 week that we were in it, there's no atoning for that.
I am so sorry.
So sorry for the damage we've caused.
I am so sorry.
Now, but we're fixing it. We're fixing it. Mm-hmm. So we're no longer doing 3D Ghost Coin. Now it's 1D Ghost Coin.
Yes. Yes.
It's flat digital.
Yes, it's called a new thing. Yes, it's called D coin.
Wait. <It's>, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just make sure. Yeah, Google it real quick, make sure there's no issue with that one.
Yeah, maybe yeah, D coin.
Should I be doing this on my work computer?
You should, yes. Go to Coinbase.
Incognito window.
Go to Coinbase D-coin. On your work computer.
Oh, where's D coin?
Is it good?
Crypto delivery. Yeah, it's boring. Crypto delivery coin.
Oh, never mind. We don't want to do that one. What's more interesting?
Dick coin.
Dick coin. Yeah. Ghost dick coin. No, it was actually the star of tonight's show. It's
I don't know. So we'll think of a cool name for it, but it's going to take a week anyway to kind of process the change. We put everything into 3D ghost coin. So it's going to take a little bit of time to process it all out into one dimension. So by the time we do that, we'll have a name for it. And if you have a name for us, then you can share it at us.
Also, thankfully, by the time we're done getting all of our money out of 3D Ghost Coin, the SEC will have been disbanded, which is very convenient for us because
Then we can put it back into 3D Ghost Coin.
A lot of questions were coming from those guys about 3D Ghost Coin. So,
fortunately, one third of their staff has already been laid off, and we got high hopes for the other two thirds.
We're pocket change compared to the other guys. So
yeah. So anyway, that has been this week's Ghost Coin update. And on that note, I think we're ready. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Love to.
For as long as anyone can remember, people hated the Mormons. What?
I think there wasn't even a a moment. I'm sure, like, when they first started.
Name a moment.
It's hard, you know.
I gotta imagine as soon as Joseph Smith was out there.
With the advantage of hindsight, it's tough to find a moment. But I gotta imagine, you know, they didn't just decide, oh, we're gonna be one of the persecuted ones. That seems like a good way to make some.
That seems like a path to success.
It actually kind of does. Never mind. Yeah. Okay, I'll withdraw the point.
If you suggest me that Joseph Smith didn't hate himself as he was digging a hole in the backyard, I'm going to have to disagree, friend.
I'm just going to keep adding wives until I love myself. Oh, shit.
So basically, right from the inception of Mormonism in 1830, people have always been like, listen, y'all, you are weird. And please don't live by us. Now, this is not a very generous attitude. I'm not
correct.
I'm not speaking in support of this attitude.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
This is not how Christ calls you to live, Patrick.
Right. Yes.
And I would, as always on this podcast, I'd like to encourage you and all our listeners to live as Christ would like.
Exactly.
To.
The OG ghost. Absolutely.
The original. That's right. So people didn't like the Mormons. They didn't really like their polygamy. And the fact that they were always telling everyone that theirs was the one true faith.
Right.
People were like, even though, like, have a Jesus.
Literally everybody else is also saying mine is the one true. Like no one.
Well, this is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like no one mad at them for saying that.
Yeah. When it's so, like,
I stumbled. I took over all your words three times in a row. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say something?
No, it's inferred. Like the one you pick, right? Mm-hmm. You think that's the one. You would never pick the one that you were like, well, this, you know, technically, you know, Hinduism is the one, but there's not like a temple on my like drive to work. So
I'm going to guess that there are many people who say that actually.
who just convert out of sheer like driving convenience. That's it.
I need to make a tithe for tax purposes.
Right.
And the nearest church to me is this Christian one. And I Buddhism is the way to go for sure. No questions about it, yeah. But it's just so far.
Yeah. Kids, we're all getting haircuts. We're Quakers now.
Oh, we're gonna have such good furniture. That's the upside of that one.
Mm-hmm. And such great emails this week. Can't wait for the emails this week.
Well, doesn't get much better for a while. Also, we should point out that early Mormons were also pretty aggressive about getting people to join their religion,
mm-hmm.
which rubbed people the wrong way.
Hmm.
But again, this is not entirely different from how Christians behave.
Yeah.
Anyway, this all leads to a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you want a good listen, there's a really good episode on the Dollop on the Missouri Mormon Wars, which is an outstanding listen. And I'll give you a spoiler alert. The Mormons are not particularly innocent when it mm-hmm. comes to bloodshed and these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, go Google Porter Rockwell sometime. You can learn all about the Mormon hitman. So it's fun. Anyway, the point is there's friction between Mormons and everyone who's not Mormons, which is why the Mormons kept moving west. They got started in upstate New York, then they moved to Ohio, then to Missouri. They had a quick little stint in southern Illinois, and then over to, of course, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mm-hmm. Big jazz fans.
Huge jazz fans.
Mm-hmm. They were huge. The West is calling us.
Bibbidi bop bop boom. Is what they said. So they just want some peace and quiet. They just want to go. They want to boss their wives around. Their many wives in peace and quiet. And so they want to go to the desert. So they go to Utah and they settle around the Great Salt Lake. They're pretty much left alone out there, which is good in a lot of ways. But it also presents some problems for them. Because non-Mormons were not coming to Salt Lake. Because they're like, that's where the Mormons are now.
Right. Yep.
We got them out of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Utah. Don't go there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
No. And I mean, Mormonism, I think it needs, it's a little bit of like a multi-level marketing scheme. Like it doesn't. Okay. I'm just, hear me out here. So you got one, for every one dude, you got like nine wives. Right.
Okay.
God, so that's a lot. I know. It seems like about a few too many, right? So, like,
some days it seems like nine too many.
I'm not a mathematician here, but that whole like setup doesn't work forever, if you know what I mean, right?
Well, so, what if you share them? Can you share them?
I don't believe so. I watch.
See,
you
saw Big Love.
Yeah, I saw Big Love. Yeah, so it's. I don't think you're supposed to. So you kind of like it. Kind of relies on population growth, you know, to work.
Yeah. What was the cult religion in Florida that we live inside?
We live inside the earth, not on top of the earth.
And you couldn't have any children?
Right.
It's like, well, this is not destined for success, my friends. This is a little bit better than that.
Right, yes.
You can have kids.
Correct, yes. That's a big part of it, quite frankly.
It's a requirement. Yeah.
But at some point, somebody was like, and we'll only eat ice cream all day. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But eventually, we're going to get really, really sick. Like, right, But that's
why we'll have nine ice creams.
Right, that's future me's problem. For now, I'm eating nine ice creams.
And I'm living my best life this month. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
So non-Mormons are not coming to Salt Lake City, which means it's difficult, for the propagation of the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Also, commerce is difficult
because
there's not people to buy stuff and do stuff and spend money there.
Right.
If they're not coming there. Because, like, there are not many. If you look at the whole population, there are many more people in the country than there are Mormons coming to move to Utah, right? So if you could attract non-Mormons, that would be really ideal.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they got, like, a lower tax base. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So all this is to say, people don't like the Mormons, and Mormons don't really like people, but they do need a way to attract the normies to the Salt Lake City area in order to self-sustain. Okay?
Right. Got it.
That's our setup. Bringing in the normies. as we've discussed on this podcast many times before, people were just going nuts for hot springs and mineral baths mm-hmm. in the 1800s. And the Great Salt Lake is nothing if not a big minerally bath.
where nothing can live.
Yeah.
It smells kind of like pickles all the time.
Oh, that kind of sounds nice. And the Mormons thought, well, there's a bunch of resorts popping up nearby, like around the lake, because mm-hmm. it's mineral springs, right?
Sure. So
the Mormons like, what if we built a resort?
Uh-huh.
That would definitely attract the normies.
Yes, absolutely.
Normies love salt. Mm-hmm. That's what we know about them. And this is also good for the Mormons because they also don't like a lot of the other local resorts. And the one that was singled out was the Garfield Resort, which served liquor and had, and then this is a quote, rowdy dancing.
I love the Garfield Resort. It's open every day but Monday, which is kind of convenient. Yeah. It's
menu, nothing but lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
Every love meal. It. So good. Mm. And ferns for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't like liquor. They don't like the rowdy dancing. And they're like, well, if we can build our own resort, we can have a place with no liquor and with cool dancing.
So no liquor, less dancing.
I didn't say less dancing.
Okay.
There's going to be dancing.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make
not,
sure.
It's not rowdy dancing.
I'm not coming all the way to Utah if I can't dance.
Okay. Yeah. You and Kevin Bacon. I get it.
Yes. We're gonna rescue this little Mormon town from the scourge of rowdy dancing.
Come on, Ren. Get on your suspenders. We're going. So in, 1893, the Church of Latter-day Saints opens their very own resort, the Great Salt Air.
Okay.
That's one word, Salt Air.
Salt Air. Okay.
Not salt. It's spelled like salt air.
Right. But the kerning just kind of mushes it.
All the way in.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Great Salt Air.
I guess.
It sounds like one of those like fortune telling machines from Big.
So if you want to go to a resort, mm-hmm. you know, by the sea,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you have like that fear of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't go that far. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't. Wait, it's on the other side of the Rockies, probably, right? I don't really know, technically.
Yes.
Frantically Googling where Utah is.
I'm not.
See, I could see how you could settle down in a nice little resort run by Mormons in the mountains.
Yeah. On the west side of the Rockies, as it is.
Yes, yes, on the far side mm-hmm. of the Rockies. Yeah. Uh-huh. I could definitely see how you could end up there.
I tell you how this happens.
Hmm.
Someone is like, I'm going to go to a resort on the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really nice. And then their friend Patrick sends them this video of a giant fish trying to eat a woman. And then you say, fuck that. I am never going to a place that with was fish in, ever again.
That was an
I'm
aquarium. That was an aquarium.
Where do you think they get it the fish?
Could have aquariums? Happened anywhere. It could happen where? Anywhere.
Not going to happen at the Great Salt Lake.
I bet your neighbors have aquariums that big. I bet they do. I bet
first of all, that's an insane thing to say. Second of all, not happening at the Salt Lake because that fish, as soon as you put that fish in the water, that fish is dead.
That fish is
that
cured.
Is not a saltwater
it's cured.
Fish.
That fish is cured. It is cannibal. It is delicious. The moment nah. it's the moment you put it in that salt water.
The fish is delicious?
The fish is delicious.
It's like a sardine.
Yes.
Like a big sardine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big scary sardine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a big industry out there, taking fish and throwing them in the lake.
That's true. I don't like to victim shame, but that woman should not have been swimming with fish that big.
That was just a massive sturgeon.
It was too big.
Not the fish's fault.
No, it's God's fault.
Mm-hmm, right.
For making something so fucking horrible.
And I'm going to assume you it's didn't God see the video us. From like 2 days ago of the whale eating
yeah,
a
I saw kayaker. The whale.
You saw that one too?
Yeah, everyone sends me the fucking fish
videos.
I know it's a mammal. Don't email me.
I know. It's it lives in the water. It eats the water. It's the same thing as a fish. It's fine. But
yeah,
it ate a kayaker that day.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I've been on a whale watching tour before. And like the whale's gotten close enough. Like I've petted a whale before. And for some reason, it never really occurred to me that at some point the whale could just like flip up and open its mouth.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think they normally do that. But this one did. And now they might.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's something that's in my head that they do.
No longer impossible.
So... I don't know.
Remember a couple years ago, whenever those those like two killer whales started like just eating great white sharks just for the hell of it. And then like they did it like 500 times, and now it's like changed where great white sharks even go on Earth now, all because two killer whales decided they were just going to change their behavior out of nowhere. What if this is the impetus? What if this is, what if that whale tells other whales?
I was going to say this, what's happening is that whale is talking to other whales. Mm-hmm. And now whales are getting a little cocky.
They famously talk. He's clicking and popping all over the ocean.
Those are dolphins, but I think you're right.
I
think you're onto something.
Yeah, they're a minor whale. Yeah, I'm aware. Mm-hmm. But
what are we talking about?
Mormons, obviously.
Sure. So they build their own resort. they hate the Garfield Resort. And this is the Great Saltaire. Okay, so the Great Saltaire was, and here's a quote, it was a wholesome place of recreation under church control for Mormon families.
Oh, so this is not the best way to attract more people to your Mormon town.
We're going to find out that it's not a great business model pretty soon. also, though, according to John McCormick, who was a former professor in Utah, the church leaders, quote, "We're trying to convey the message that we're not dangerous. We're not subversive. We're loyal, law-abiding citizens." The basic message was that this is spelled wrong. What's that?
We are law-abiding citizens who have coincidentally changed a few of the laws out here, just so you're aware.
And now we abide by them. Basic message was that something was and will remain a place where families and democratic institutions, business interests, and investments are safe.
Ah, okay.
Safe with our prude dances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to invest in prude dancing? We're the place for you. It's safe here. Leaving room for Jesus on the dance floor. I have a picture of the Great Saltaire for you.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
There it is.
Oh, it's on. It's out. Okay, it's out on the fucking lake. I wasn't
when
prepared
I said
for
it
that.
Was at the lake.
Right.
I meant I meant
you know. I thought it was like when we go to the lake. You know, we don't sleep.
Where do you stay?
I don't stay on the water. Huh. I don't like sleep in a kayak or something.
That sounds this more expensive.
This is. I mean, it's a gorgeous building. Absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
A little
bit
of
architectural style of this one. You want to?
I'm gonna say a little bit of Turkish influence. I'm gonna say.
Man, you know what? You're not far off.
You know,
example of early 20th century Moorish revival architecture.
Ah, the Moors. Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Ah, the Moors.
Love to use and is cool to use. I think. Anyway, it's pretty big.
Looks like it.
You can see right through it. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the salt air they're talking about right there. It just blows right through the building. Yeah.
This thing is going to be just totally weathered to dust in about 4 years.
This is actually 10 minutes after it opened and 10 minutes before it closed.
These used to actually be solid walls. No longer. So that's it. It's a nice looking spot.
Hmm.
Let's see. It rested on over 2,000 posts and pilings.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to bolster the commercial end of the development, the church partnered with the Salt Lake and Los Angeles Railway, which is not to be confused with the Los Angeles and Salt Lake Railroad. Those are two different things.
Oh.
Please don't confuse them.
I'm already confused.
Yep. But they partner with the railway, one of the railways, so that they build a train line right out to the dock, basically.
Uh-huh.
You can just take a train right there.
Very convenient.
It's very convenient. Only if you're arriving by train, because there are no roads that go to the Great Saltaire.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some great things about this plan.
Mm-hmm.
There are some shortcomings in this plan.
You know, give it time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much time do they have, by the way? Doesn't sound like much.
Well, let's find out. Let's see. The Great Saltaire featured dining.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming, obviously. Just give a little shove. There you go. They had live big band music, and they had dancing, normal dancing.
Right, nothing rowdy. Right,
nothing rowdy.
Mm-mm.
And apparently, it boasted at the time the largest dance floor in the entire world.
Wow. I if that whole building was dedicated to dance floor, would say yes. Now, will there ever be another time in the history of civilization when the world's largest dance floor is operated by Mormons? I would say probably no.
Hard
I'd
say to
that
say
was
yes.
That was just a brief a just, brief moment in the sun right there.
Yeah, they learned their lesson pretty quick here. We are spitting in the eye of God, and we have got to sell this thing off.
They're building the world's largest dance floor in the middle of a purely salt lake in the middle of the mountains. I would be surprised if God himself doesn't walk down and start taking it apart piece by piece.
This is for your own good. Now, this is going to make a lot of sense to you that the Salt Air Resort, again, run by Mormons in the middle of the ocean, which had a cool dance floor for normal dancing, was soon being pitched as the Coney Island of the West.
Okay.
Can you name any differences between this and the real Coney Island? I bet not. And according to McCormick, the professor we heard earlier, quote, the comparison was an overstatement.
It's Coney Island with half the condoms. Oh, neat.
We spent some time in Coney Island.
We did. I remember I swam in the ocean at Coney Island, and you and Millie are both like, get out of the fucking water, man. You're going to come back with needles
but
everywhere.
It's July. It's going to be so nice in here.
It's
going to
be so nice. Let me just take off my flip flops.
Do that.
Roll up my pants like Tom Sawyer and just go splash to the ocean for a little bit. Does the ocean get clear the further out I get? No.
Hey, how's your hepatitis doing?
It's under control now. Yeah.
That's good. 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 Yeah.
Thank you for
not for long, because RFK Jr. is in charge. So sorry, you have a flare up. So this is obviously nothing like actual Coney Island,
right.
And so the problem with this is the people are coming out there expecting it to be sort of like Coney Island,
freaks and roller
and they're
coasters.
Like, where's the freak shows?
Yeah.
Exactly. So the comparison's overstatement. Church leaders found that being a new Coney Island and being a wholesome recreation spot for Latter-day Saints were, quote, incompatible goals.
That's definitely one of those where, like, a family shows up on the train and you're trying to, like, read them real quick. Like, okay, which tour am I giving today? Exactly?
Which door am I opening? Yeah. Are they going left or right? Because this feels like a marketing ploy that was put into place by someone who has never been to Coney Island. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's on water and people go there, right? Maybe we're like that. So the church sells the resort in 1906.
No.
This is not going to work out for us.
Grand opening, grand closing. I love it. Okay.
They were also in debt, and this was one of their tickets out of that debt. So they were happy to be rid of it. But the resort goes on to be actually incredibly popular.
Interesting. Do they lean into the Coney Island thing finally, or do they lean into
Yeah. Well, yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, they do.
Glad to hear that.
So in 1920, 10,000 people gathered at Salt Air to celebrate the 4th of July.
Oh, that.
Is that's all the people that existed.
Is that
in
safe?
America at that time?
It doesn't sound safe.
Not even a little safe.
How many are dead? They're all dead.
Well, this is a ghost story.
Okay.
3 weeks later, on Pioneer Day, the crowds were even bigger than that. So they're doing good stuff. In 1925, the Salt Air burned to the ground.
Burned
to the water.
It burned the water. Okay, so yeah.
It burned so hot, it went all the way down.
I don't want to be pedantic here, but like that's an easy one.
The building, it turns out, had, quote, little or no fireproofing.
Again, in their defense, worst case scenario, you step out of the building into water.
Yeah, it's pretty safe.
Who's going to get hurt in this?
I didn't read any reports of anyone dying in that fire, so
see?
It's fine. The insurance payout was probably amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the resort is so popular, it would have been crazy not to rebuild it. So the next year, the second Salt Air opens to just extraordinary fanfare. Now it includes skee ball.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. A movie theater.
Mm.
And the world's largest wooden roller coaster.
Okay, now we're Coney Island of the West.
Take that, Cyclone.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah. So it continues to be incredibly popular, more so than ever, because now there's stuff to do there besides lame dancing. Unfortunately, 3 years later, the stock market crashed. So the national unemployment rate during the Great Depression was 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And in Utah, it was even worse. The unemployment rate there was quite a bit higher, nearly 36%.
Does that impact the resort industry at all?
A little bit.
A little? Okay.
A little, yeah.
I thought that's actually where the Jodes were heading, was to Coney Island, if I recall the book correctly.
Coney Island of the West, yeah.
Yeah.
And they overshot it a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
like, fucking such Salinas, a sad book.
Man. Oh, God. When they get lost on the way to Coney Island, such a sad book.
All Tom wanted to do was float.
Mm-hmm.
All Tom wanted to do was float.
Mm-hmm.
So people are not spending money, obviously, on resorts very much. And then this is followed by the Dust Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which, among other things, started to dry up the lake.
Oh.
And so water levels dropped pretty steeply. And suddenly, so now people are like, okay, I have almost no money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spend it vacationing on a crater,
yeah.
basically. Looks like Mars out there. So the water is totally receded at this point from the salt air.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more water underneath it.
Yeah. And the guy who's in charge of fireproofing is getting pretty nervous.
Because is it hot in here?
Yeah. Whew, my one plan is it's drying up.
Yeah. 1931, another fire cost over $100,000 in damage.
You see? I mean, gotta have a backup, man.
Oh, man. Now, so that's 1931. Things are going downhill, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It also has to close during World War II because fuel rations mean you can't run the roller coaster.
Mm.
I didn't really. So that's a bummer. Just, you know, war takes everything from
just
us.
Send me to the front lines at this point. Fuck it.
There's also, of course, a lack of people to either work or go to this place. So it's closed during World War II. That's no good. It opens back up on August 30th, 1957. The roller coaster fell over.
Okay.
And in case you're wondering, yes, it was very much in operation at the time. They had closed the ride for high winds.
Okay.
And so people got off and
right.
they tried to ride again. They were really mad they couldn't. And people were like, I don't know. It doesn't feel very safe. And then literally as they're arguing about it, the whole thing blew over. So that was a good decision.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a few ghosts avoided
mm-hmm.
is what that is. So they just watched as the roller coaster. And again, it was for a long time the biggest wooden roller coaster in the country. So there's, and I didn't, I'll show you a, you know what, I'll show you a picture.
Sure, please.
Let's see,
because I've ridden wooden roller coasters before. No way you can say that two times in a row drunk.
No.
And they all kind of feel like they're gonna fall over.
So, oh my God, did you ride the Cyclone in Coney Island?
I did, yes.
That thing is,
that was very
terrifying.
Spooky. Yeah, very terrifying. Spooky.
It was probably a little more solid when it was first built, I guess. But
yeah.
Anyway, so here, so this is a big roller
that
coaster.
That is a grand roller coaster. My goodness.
So the whole thing falls over.
Yeah, and it's so large and like wraps back around on itself. I can only imagine it must have fallen down like dominoes, like each section pulling the next down.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been just spectacular to watch.
That would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. Anyway, so that falls down. And then people are like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's not a cool place to go anymore. Let's see. And then the resort. So it's all dwindling is the point here. And the resort finally shutters in the 60s. It was abandoned, quote, despite such efforts as pouring asphalt to lure motorists to make the trip out. They didn't have a road until the 60s after it closed. Dipshits. I know why it didn't work out.
That was always plan B. Plan B was always to make a road for people to visit the park.
Well, now that there's no more water.
Right.
That's all. That's asphalt bed now. Now we have the space to do that. And then in 1967, someone set a fire that destroyed the concourse, the entry gate, concession stands, and basically all the support structures.
Okay.
So everything is now gone except the main, like the big main building.
Right. But the support structures you mentioned, they're gone.
Some of them.
Okay. Okay.
So it's fine. I mean, it's abandoned, so who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Then in 1970, someone set fire to the main building and finished the job. That burned to the ground.
Okay, good.
But then in 1981, some enterprising idiot said, you know what? I think it's time for Saltaire number 3.
She's got good bones.
No, she does not, actually. They learned their lesson about this whole original location, mm-hmm. and they're like, we're not putting it here because no one's coming out here. There's no road. We're not doing this again. So they built the third version about a mile west.
Okay.
Still on the lake.
Uh-huh. Chasing the lake. Chasing the lake at this point.
Chasing the lake.
Yes.
A few months after it opened, the lake rose precipitously and the resort flooded under 5 feet of water and did not recede for several years.
You know, he's really proud of himself, though. The fireproofing guy. He's like, you know what?
This one, I nailed it.
They always say never make the same mistake twice, and not happening.
Oh, man. So finally, though, after, again, it's underwater for several years, and so it's obviously not being used. Eventually, the water recedes. The lake starts to go down a little bit again. Mm-hmm. And now, at long last, people are like, okay, listen. The lake is going down.
Did you hear that the amusement park is no longer under 5 feet of water? We should go.
We should go back. It's sustainable. Okay. We're going to make it really good this time. Mm-hmm. Now is the time. We're ready. The world is ready for the Saltaire. So investors get on board. I don't know. A lot of ayahuasca in the desert.
Clearly.
They're really going for it. By the time they were done, they finished the building. They finished the Saltaire. They finished revamping everything. It's not the Coney Island of the West anymore. Okay. It's really just kind of like a big venue.
Okay.
Like a big like a music venue is what they use it for now.
All right.
So, but it's a big space. I'll show you another picture in a second. But they get done finally. And it's, I have to imagine that's a lot of work. Because that's been a swamp for years. So this is not a nice building. They finally get it all done. And they're very happy. Mm-hmm. And then they look out and they realize the lake is looking a lot further away now than it did even a few weeks earlier. The lake had suddenly gotten so much lower again that the water was no longer accessible from the Saltaire property. And that was a key selling point because they were talking about all their boat docks, which no longer touched water.
Right. Okay. All right.
So this fizzles. Mm-hmm. Although in 2005, some new investors from the music industry got together and they bought the Saltaire. And now it is sometimes used as a music venue.
Okay.
But this is not like near... It's not near Salt Lake City.
Right.
It's not near like Provo. It's not in a cool place.
It's not near the water at this point, I should note.
It's
either.
Not near the water. What it is perfect for is like one of the few things they do there. They do a lot of EDM festivals.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, a super lame Burning Man. Do you want to go to Burning Man with Mormons? Come to the Saltaire. And here's a quote that I love. If you squint, you barely make out the coastline of the lake in the distance. And I got a photo of that for you here.
What the fuck?
So this is Saltaire 3. You can tell it's built in the same style.
Yeah.
Looks exactly the same.
Uh-huh, absolutely. So A couple notes. Uh-huh. This is definitely giving me a birthday cake vibe that I didn't really expect
is it cake?
To get. It's you can try. I'm pretty sure this one is not cake, but it does look a lot like cake.
This one is somehow softer than cake.
Yeah.
It's easier to cut through.
It's like somebody took a really decrepit warehouse and put 6 large birthday candles at the corners. That's basically what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm. And you can see just over there, look, there's a lake.
You can. Yep.
See that?
It just
line of blue.
Just a hair of it off in the distance. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lake Resort.
The lake. She's a cruel mistress.
Desolate. Look at this. So here's obviously the dry lake that used to come right up to the property. It's just terrible. So that's the salt air now. Let's see. Now you may be thinking, okay, based on this story so far, that salt air 3, this new building with new materials in a new location, seems to have nothing to do with salt air 1 and 2.
I would agree.
Now, that's wrong.
Oh, no.
There is one very important thing tying them together. There's a single piece of the original salt air that lives inside the modern version.
Oh.
When you walk into the salt air, in the main room, you'll see a stage. Behind that stage is a room. In that room is a column. Strapped to that column is a plank of wood from the original boardwalk. And this plank of wood is highly paranormally active.
And they just put it inside of the... Okay, that's fine.
I couldn't find any pictures of it.
Well, I would not take photos of the highly paranormal piece of wood behind that's the stage in the EDM festival. That's
every account of it I read used the same word, strapped to a column. So I don't I want to see it. But it brought with it some ghosts from the old location, but mostly it has attracted new ghosts.
Oh, okay.
So it's like ancient ties to this altar have given it power
to draw in
new ghosts.
Okay. So really, if you think of it, the original Mormon's goal is finally being met here. They are attracting outside entities to the resort.
They're attracting really pale-faced people to the resort, which is probably what they were looking for.
That was the goal. Probably not a lot of money to spend, I would figure. So this isn't going to help the bottom line much.
No, we got to be really specific. When you set a goal, you got to be very specific.
Yeah, you got to accept it at this point.
I tell my students that all the time. Mm-hmm. Now the salt air has now, let's see. Oh, wait, I want to do that. Sorry. Forget I said that. Listen, the main staircase is haunted by the ghost of a soldier whose spirit they believe came with the wood for the salt air's construction, which was repurposed from an old military airplane hangar from Hill Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
So the soldier's there. He hangs around. Mirrors in one of the green rooms has a tendency to reflect paranormal images behind you. And sometimes lights in the green room will turn on and off all on their own, which may just be part of the rave.
I was going to say that's like it. This rave is so haunted. What?
One room is always about 10 degrees colder than the rest of the building, and they cannot figure out why. Although obviously the reason is ghost. You have ghost?
I have a little ghost behind me. Yeah.
A little ghost.
He found a bug. He'll take care of it.
All right. Here we go. And two different women were found dead there.
Oh.
Separately, two different instances. And both of them probably not killed there.
Uh-huh.
But if you need a good dumping ground for a body.
Yeah.
Saltaire, you can do worse than the Saltaire.
Basically, it's used for like an annual EDM festival. Yeah, I'd say it's probably a pretty good spot.
One of the bodies was found on October 8th in the year 2000. Two duck hunters stumbled across some skeletal remains in a field next to the salt air. Mm-hmm. There were 26 bones scattered around the area, plus a skull that still had waist-length blonde hair.
Ugh.
Which is pretty gruesome, but also it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels a little bit like a Monty Python set piece, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a funny story.
No.
We're going to talk about the story. It's tragic. It's bad. It is bad. I want to say that. It's a sad thing.
Right.
Kind of silly, though, right? Now she's haunting you. She knows you're laughing at her. She doesn't like it. There's no identifying information on or around the remains here. And the locals started calling this woman Salt Air Sally.
Oh.
I don't know. I like alliteration.
True. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
They're taking some liberties, just assuming it's a female just because it had long hair.
Right. And assuming her name is Sally.
Well, that's another liberty. I think they've all agreed that probably it's not. But they don't have anything to go on. It takes 12 years to figure out who this person was. And frankly, I can't believe that they did. Eventually, it took stable isotopes ratio mass spectrometry. Spectrometry.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I can even say it. And yeah. Some people actually do it. It's amazing. And using that method, which I started to read about, and it's obviously way over my head, but they were able to like take a piece of the hair and then see, based on different particles in the hair, where she had traveled recently.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And they found she had traveled from the Northwest, and so they started like inquiring around there, mm-hmm. and they matched that up with DNA from these people. Anyway, they found out this was a young woman named Nicole Bacolis, who had a pretty tragic story. Her murder was never solved. So they know who she is now, but they have no idea what happened to her. Mm. And her ghost, which people refer to as the ghost of Salt Air Sally, mm-hmm. haunts the location still today. So this is a pretty recent ghost. She has been seen looking out over the southern shores of the lake, trying to find it, probably.
Looking at the pamphlets. What the fuck is this?
She's also seen inside the venue wearing either a white t-shirt or a white dress. She's always crying. Probably again because the lake that she was promised is not there. So, I want to end this week with a helpful tip. We don't always end with tips, but I think I want a tip. One of the articles I read talked about a team of amateur ghost hunters who spent a few hours at the Salt Air. And they gave some tips for ghost hunting, including one that I thought I would like to share with everybody because I think it's really powerful. Mm-hmm. Here's the quote. If a paranormal experience has a physical impact, such as headache or nausea, step away from the space. Remember, it might not be a paranormal related response.
You might be stroking out.
You might have inhaled a lot of gas from leaky pipes. So I think that's good advice. And that is the story of the haunted Great Salt Air in Salt Lake City, outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. Hmm. It's a fun one, huh?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Let's see. Where are we here? That's it. That's all I got. Listen, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. That way the episodes just show up every week on Wednesday. And it's really fun that way. Mm-hmm. You can rate and review wherever you listen. That'd be great. Tell your friends. That'd be even better. You can find us online at isthisaghost.com or on social media at isthisaghost. We are produced by Smith Show Media. All the notes were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team is Kai Valonis, Sam Murdoch, and Jennifer Jones. Upcoming merch, yes, soon from Fox and Quill Studio. We are so excited. Make sure you follow them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. To see what they've been working on, and boy, I think you shouldn't ride any roller coasters built by Mormons, because if you do, that is a one-way ticket to the next episode of Is This a Ghost?